Some question?
First question is from Pavan Krishna Prabhu. Uh-huh. What is a dream? What do the sages...
What is a dream?
A dream. And uh-huh. What do the sages dream about?
Do the sages?
Sages. Uh-huh. Like saintly persons.
Like what kind of persons?
Saint.
Saintly.
Saintly persons.
Saintly persons. Well... There's a common sense understanding about what dreams are. So I don't need to address that. And more importantly, in the Chaitanya Charitamritam, there's a famous verse that says, Dvaita, Dvaita Bhadre, Sab Manodharm, Dvaita Dvaita Bhadrigan Sab Manodharm, A Bal, A Mando, A Sab Brahm. Saying the whole world is likened unto a dream. This whole experience that's so differentiating between what is A Balo, what's good. Amon, what's bad? A sub, it's all a mistake. Right? All of it. Then no, there's certain things. It doesn't mean like that. Maya, mriyate, anayad means that which is not. So it's not lasting in any permanent sense. And that means it's not substantial. And we all have this variety of experience like this, particularly as you age. You visit some place that, you know, was your home when you were younger. I remember visiting a house. I lived in that house for, you could say, a critical period of my life from the, you know, and went back there and I felt nothing. I stayed for like 2 minutes, maybe not, maybe 30 seconds to a minute. It wasn't long. And anticipation, I thought, oh, the best thing I could think of was, oh, in this house, I realized Krishna was God. Then I thought, but it meant nothing. The location, the place, everything had changed. It didn't matter. There was no nostalgia. In other words, you're a linguist, algia. Algia always means pain. And here, home. The pain of wanting to return to home. Right? And unfortunately, in this dreamlike world, we start interpreting home as, you know, things we experienced in our childhood or before. They start getting photoshopped and turned into something very sweet and wonderful, which they may not have been at that time. But we like to delude ourselves into thinking about that time. And I'm not just saying this like it's a human, it's part of being human to do that. The great French writer, what is this book called? Proust, Remembrance of Thing. In English, it's variously translated, perhaps most often as Remembrance of Things Past. You know, the French name is probably more to the point, but anyway, that's how they... And without getting into it, I haven't even read it, only about it, and maybe some excerpts. But one thing that's mentioned time and time again as it's dealing with memory and remembrance. So, and sense memory. And how sense memory can trigger so many other memories. So, a character in his book, he's remembering the aroma of a childhood pastry, sweet, called a Madeleine. And when he remembers that, then so many memories about his childhood return to him. And we can say that that's pleasant or otherwise, but that's the idea. Through sense memory, so many other remembrances come flooding the consciousness. Interestingly, Srila Guru Maharaj explains that we're often emphasizing Shabda Brahma, spiritual sound. And we're saying that's the subtle aspect or element of material existence. So from this subtle plane, then the spiritual crossover is possible. So Shabda Brahma, spiritual sound, descends in this plane for the benefit of all those who hear and appreciate that. So Guru Maharaj interestingly says, the inverse is true in the spiritual world. Here you can hear in Vedic descriptions in the second canto and elsewhere how you go from the subtle to the gross, the grossest element being earth. The sense accompanied with that is, or the sensory function accompanied with her is aroma. Water is taste, sound, ether, sound, like that. But eyes, sight, light. But so water allows for taste, but earth gives vent to fragrance. So bhumirupo analo vayu kama no hu bhutirevata. You're going from here from gross to subtle. So the grossest representation here, earth. And associated with that, aroma. And Guru Maharaj says it's an inverse in the spiritual world. That aroma is in the most subtle. And this is the subject matter of the Antya-lila. Toward the very end of the Antya-lila is dealing with the fragrance or the aroma of Krishna. And it's very, very high. It's not appropriate to try and discuss that, but just in principle to understand this, right? It's very, very high. And it's interesting. In the Bhagavatam, the Kumaras, and we get some hint about, we take it as Leela, but their spiritual evolution. Tasyaravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda Kinjalka Misra Tulasi Makaranda Vayu Antargata Swavivarena Chakaratesham Sanksobhyam Aksharajusham Apichitta Tanvo. Sukadev talked about his transformation here. They're saying when they smelled the aroma of the lotus feet of the Lord mixed with the tulsi, they underwent this transformation of consciousness. If we take it that before that they were in a Brahmavad type positioning. This, again, Leela, their pastime. How they're transitioning into Krishna conception by the aroma. So they're praising Marcel Proust for talking about the Madeleine and the sweet and the remembrance. And that's a wonderful thing. Don't get me wrong. But here is more wonderful. The Kumara is saying, by the fragrance, the aroma of the Lord's lotus feet mixed with the tulsi, that transformed them. And not some remembrance of some time and space event or place. That type of nostalgia. Right? That type of home conception, a dream like false conception of home, but actually by this remembrance, they smelled this and it reminded them, Hare Krishna. He'll get his chance in the future. When some Guru Maharaj tells so many amazing things, but one was about Faraday and electricity, like how we can, it's my Madhava Maharaj said, whether Srila Sridhar Maharaj reads the Vedas or the newspaper, it's the same. So he said Faraday made this, he publicly demonstrated electricity and how it, and he showed how it could move a piece of paper. And so Guru said, some elderly lady, Jai Krishnananda Prabhu, Sudarshan, we're not going to have your Sudarshan in the near future, I hear. Anyway, so he made the white the piece of paper move with electrical current, and some woman said, what is the use of this? You know, like he was saying, do you get it? Like the implications. She said, what is the use of this? And Faraday said, madam, what is the use of a newborn babe? Right? But there's some potential there. When they're in the babbling stage and all, saying, what is the use of such an individual? I'm teasing the parents. But then we were all children once. So there's some potential there. So he's showing what I've demonstrated is some potential, and it has far-reaching implications, but it was lost on that lady. So he gave an example. Maybe she can, what is the use of a newborn babe? And she went, oh, all right. If it's like that, then I can understand something. But anyway, so they're praising Proust for the sense memory description of the Madeleine invoking the childhood memories. The Kumaras give themselves as an example of, through aroma, this transformation is taking place. And which reminds me of my infamous or famous flight on Air China. Sitting next to me was a gentleman who's, how I got to know this person, there's a Chinese movie on that, even though it's in Chinese, it's like funny. There's no English, but I'm laughing. It's that funny. Like humor is crazy racer. Anyway, I shouldn't have said that. Now they'll be familiar. Anyway, so I'm laughing, and he's saying, it's even funnier if you know what they're saying, which I can imagine is true. But it was funny enough, just like visually. And so I got to talking to him, and when at one point, I said, oh, what do you do? He said, oh, I'm a teacher. He's very humble. And I said, oh, what do you teach? He said, the computer science. Oh, really? I said, where? He said, oh, at like a university in America. I said, well, which one? He said, well, one of the major ones. He was deferring the whole time. Then I understood, he is teaching advanced computer science at Duke University, which is maybe one of the top programs for this. And so he's like perhaps the leading person in that field, very humble. And I thought, well, this is a great opportunity for me to run a few things I've been thinking about by him. So I asked his permission to ask him a few questions. He said, sure. And I said, you know, considering your qualifications and everything, can you say with absolute certainty that the original source of all aroma has no olfactory capacity? You know, you're like, that wasn't the question he expected. And he turned to me and said, and then he like started thinking heavily, seriously, and he said, the way you phrase this, absolute certainty, and he's very honest, which I appreciate. He said, I cannot say with absolute certainty, deny that. And I said, then I don't need to ask you any more questions. Because I could rephrase that question for each one of the senses. So you've opened the window for theistic consideration that the original source of all of this, of aroma, of taste, of sound, visual, everything, can see, hear, touch, taste, smell, feel. It's possible. And that's all I ask of you, to allow for that possibility. So, so dreams, as I prefer to just cut to the chase of the Charitamrita's version. The whole world is dreamlike. Right? Sometimes Guru Maharaj will say, it's a colossal hoax. Right? Whether from a scientific point of view or any other point of view. We don't properly see what we see. Again, Charitamritam, Brahma, Pramada, Viparlipsa, Karana, Patava, when Mahaprabhu is discussing with Prakasananda Saraswati, the four defects, right? Mistakes, illusion, cheating, sensory inefficiency. It's four simple things. You can just count them off. But it's very profound, the implications. So, that within this realm, that we will, on a daily basis, of what's been, you know, misperceived, misread, that the mind will process some of this while sleeping, the brain. It's not very important. Someone will say, well, what if we have a spiritual dream? A spiritual, you know, the guru visits us in a dream. Or like that. And Guru Maharaj, as usual, says, it may be spiritual, it may not be. It may also be a projection. Doesn't mean that because a dream was about guru or some, then therefore, oh, it was a dream. It's valid. It's somehow by virtue of being a dream that it must be something substantial. It may not be. It depends upon what is conveyed. Right? Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Vaishnav. These are like a system of checks and balances. Otherwise, with reference to the Siddha Mahatma of Vrindavan that Saraswati Thakur referred to as an infant class Vaishnava, there's a mantra, I don't even want to say what it is, but he went into some, as the story goes, he went into some very deep state and he came out with this mantra. So all these people, you hear it sometimes in Bengal. Guru Maharaj said, unfortunately, that mantra is full of upasiddhanta. He's saying, so then what plane did he enter? Some upasiddhantic dream zone where he mined this upasiddhantic nonsense and brought that out and presented it to others. So, it was a two-part or one part?
What do the sages dream about?
Oh, the sages. Yeah, well, on this point, we can say something interesting. Prabhupada was one of those sages, and he was having a recurrent dream in which Srila Saraswati, this is during his married life, family life, in which Saraswati Thakur was appearing to him and saying, come out, come out, meaning come out of family life and take sannyas. And interesting, Prabhupada said about, he said, I thought at the time, oh, how horrible. And he wasn't saying horrible, he was saying horrible, like kelu, you know, like, oh, how horrible. Which makes it a more appealing story than if he'd said, yes, you know, I just waiting for an opportune moment. Instead, he shows there's some dramatic tension that he's considering. If we want to take it from a Nityasiddha point of view, playing this particular role in this part, it's still more interesting with dramatic tension. Dramatic tensions like a necessity of Leela to generate superior substance. And on this subject, if you look at Bhava Bhakti and the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami, sometimes people would ask Guru Maharaj, they read some statements. It could be Chakrabarti Thakur, Nikunjayuno Ratikeli Siddhayi Yayali Bi Juktira Pekshaniya Tatatri Daksha Ati Balabasya Bandegaroshi Charanaravindam. When to engage in this type of culture about the internal identity of Guru. When is it appropriate to think about those things? Or they can read some such thing in the Jiva Dharma or another place. Right? So they think, oh, here it's saying, this is how you should think. So someone asked Srila Guru Maharaj, when is it appropriate to think like that? And without hesitation, Guru Maharaj said, when one has achieved Bhava Bhakti. And we think, well, when is that? Let me look on my calendar. When is that coming? He's saying, oh, well, the Rupa Goswami gives 10, symptoms or signs, lakkan. But before that, we should say, Shraddha Ado Shraddha Sarusanga Bhajana Kriya Anartha Nivritti Nishta Ruchi Ashakti Bhav. That's where it is. And what comes after it? Prem. So it's sometimes referred to as the preliminary state of Krishna Prem. So if you even, you know, do the math on this sequence, it's very, very high. Right? Bhav Ankur, as referred to by Rupa Goswami, means the bhakti lata bij, which came in the form like a seed, comparable to a seed, right? Seed conception. Then sprouting, being nourished, developed, weeding, etc. It's going through association, sadhusanga satovare, superior association, bhajan, spiritual practices, anarthas, cessation of anarthas, means not only undesirable behavior, but artha also is rendered as meaning. Anartha means misconception. So misconception is converting into Krishna conception. Nishtha, like deep rooted faith. Ruchi, a taste for what in the beginning was not tasteful, maybe even somewhat painful. Some labor involved. Now there's a relish for these things, these practices, and for hearing about Krishna. Ashakti means attachment, but the good kind, spiritual attachment. Bhav, and that means now the bhakti lata bee, it's reached the point where it has blossomed. And then that blossom stage on our theme about fragrance. Then the bhakti lata bee, now it's blossomed, it's flowered, it has an aroma, so to speak, that is attractive to Krishna. Means that particular devotee's devotion has a unique fragrance that Krishna finds pleasing. Right? Like the way we inhale a flower and it gives some pleasure, some joy. Krishna is, in a real and substantial way, relishing that type of devotion. And in that stage, right, which is the preliminary stage of Krishna Prem, Rupa Goswami starts saying, what are the characteristics? Asha, Bandha, Samut, Kanta, etc. One, Man Shunyata. And Guru Maharaj says, in this stage, one is never forgetful of Krishna, even in dreaming. Even when they're sleeping, they're not forgetful of Krishna. So it means 24 hours remembrance. That's one of the characteristics of Bhava Bhakti. Guru Maharaj is saying, in that stage, all these things you hear is applicable for that type of development. So, Kaviraj Goswami, what does he say in Charitamritam? After the incident with Meena Ketana Ram, where his relative disrespected him, Gunardava Misra, not recognizing that the followers of Nityananda Prabhu, they should be regarded as Nityananda Prabhu. Sa bhakta puja. So he, and on the plea of having affinity for Mahaprabhu, but not respecting Nityananda Prabhu, to show that this is utterly unacceptable and not real. It cannot be real. It betrays some sort of fictitious devotion. Kaviraj Goswami chastised him, invoking Ardha Kukya Nyai, the logical flaw of half a hen, accepting the half that lays the egg, but not the part that eats. It's a logical flaw. And he applied that. And he said, that evening in a dream, Nityananda Prabhu appeared to him. And he was taking Krishna Nam and in a divinely intoxicated state. And that's where it's mentioned. Do you know that verse? You know that Preme Mata Nityananda Kripa Avatar. He describes Nityananda Prabhu as the Kripa avatar. Utam Adam Kichu Nahi Vichar. He has no consideration of whether one is elevated, degraded, whatever your position is. And who is like that? An intoxicated person. one of the classic stereotypes of a drunken person is they're everybody's friend. They're buying a drink for everyone. Drink with them. And so they don't care who, they don't know friend, foe, or anyone. Just come drink with me. What I'm drinking, you drink that. He's saying that's Nityananda Prabhu. He's so drunk and drunkenly intoxicated with Krishna, and he wants everyone to taste that. Come, have a drink with me. Drink this intoxicating beverage of Krishna Nam. That's what he's like. That's why he's everyone's friend. Because we know if someone was to discriminate, then we would be, you know, Durdeva, Amar, Durdeva, unfortunate, bad luck. But that mercy above justice, indiscriminate distribution of mercy, that's why Nityananda Prabhu is everyone's best friend and foremost among Mahaprabhu's associates. So because of what Krishna's Kaviraj from his heart told to the Gunarnava Misra, Nityananda Prabhu told by this act of, and we can say it is exalting the apparently exalting the devotee above the Lord. That is Krishna conception, where the devotee is occupying the superior position. That is what is pleasing to Krishna. That is what is pleasing to Mahaprabhu. To put the devotee in the secondary position is not Krishna conception proper. Right? And at the heart of the matter of Mahaprabhu's descent, right? Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita, it's all about the supreme devotee of Krishna. And we take that means in two instances. Radharani on one side, Nityananda Prabhu on the other side, Balaram. The first other than Krishna is not his competitor, but rather his pleader, his devotee. So, and understanding this, what does that qualify Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami for? Entrance into Vrindavan. Nityananda Balaram saying, Krishna's, now you may go to Vrindavan. In other words, marking this type of understanding, now you're fit to enter that plane. And it's their pastimes. And there you'll, everything you'll get. And he goes to Vrindavan and gets everything, right? The mercy of Madan Mohan. When he is there, he becomes the like caretaker, assistant of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. And we're told, Srup Damodar, he makes brief notes on all the pastimes of Mahaprabhu in his diary. Raghunath Das Goswami has more extensive notes. Krishna's Kaviraj becomes the beneficiary of all of that. All of that is given to him in Vrindavan through Raghunath Das Goswami. The full wealth of Srup Damodar and Raghunath Das Goswami and Chaitanya Charitamrita comes out. Is that dreams from sages? Yeah.
Next question is, what does Pratishtha do? What is its
Pratishtha?
Yes. What is its nature and why does the Lord test devotees in such a way?
Pratishtha means, in one, it can be described variously, but one way is self-assertion, right? Which is antithetical to the culture of devotion. Right? ego assertion, self assertion. Devotion is always recognized where devotees, they're appreciating the devotion of others. Like we see in Brihad Bhagavatamritam. When Narada, first of all, what is he doing? He's praising the devotion of another person. We can say, no, you're Narada. As Prahlad says to him when he reaches Prahlad, Gurudev, why are you talking like this? He's saying, oh, Prahlad, you're such a great... He goes, stop. Don't want to hear that. Like Saraswati Thakur was saying, the sadhu becomes... flatters me, becomes my enemy. Right? And rather, in the Bhagavatam, love and kindness, what? Sadhu, they're cutting you with sharp language, like a surgeon is removing a cancer. So, devotion, they're always appreciating the devotion of another devotee. Narada saying, yeah. Is there any greater devotee than you? And they go, why, yes, there is. Of certainly, what I'm doing is nothing. You, and they refer to someone else that in their estimation is a superior devotee, a real devotee. Narada goes, they're praising them, they're deferring to someone who in their estimation is a genuine devotee. On and on and on through, you know, that Prayag, Shila worshipping, to South India, to Puri, to Indraloka, to Brahmaloka, Shiva, Shivaloka, we can say. And Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, I said that to Guru Maharaj, he said, he's in the middle. Like, haven't you read Brihad Bhagavatamritam? He's in the middle. So when, and Shiva, very beautifully, there, Sanatana Goswami, Shiva, he, and devotees, they're concealing their position. You know, so he starts telling Narada how bad he is, why you really shouldn't offer this type of praise. I've given boons to disciples, then they call that boon and then lead me into battle against Vishnu, or, you know, this is my situation. He said, in fact, I'm such a despicable person, I once desired a position superior to Krishna. That's the kind of man I am, this is my situation. Sanatana Goswami says, yes, but what he's referring to is, you know, aradhana nam sarve, the position of a devotee. He said, I wanted a position greater than that of the Lord. He said, because he wanted to be his eternal servant, and he understands the ontological analysis that a devotee is in a superior position. But he doesn't say it like that. He said, I wanted to be greater than my Lord. So they're concealing their position, Pundarik Vidyaniti, others, and praising someone else. So Shiva sends him to Prahlad. Because in this context, again, Bhogshiv, Tyagshiv, Bhaktashiv. So Tyagshiv represents, we can say, Gyanamisra Bhakti. So Shuddha Bhakti begins with Prahlad Maharaj. So Narada is praising Prahlad, and this is embarrassing Prahlad to be the object of praise from his Gurudev. So he's saying, and he says, by your grace, Gurudev, I was ever able to remember him under all these trying circumstances. By your grace, you gave me that. No self-assertion. You. But who's the real devotee? I'm thinking Hanuman. Because I don't have any seva. Really direct seva. But remembrance I've got. But Hanuman, how sweet is his relationship with Ramachandra and doing so much service. When he approaches Hanuman, he knows how to approach Hanuman by chanting Ram Nam. Then Hanuman's lost in chanting Ram Nam with Narada. They're having a little Ram Nam kirtan. Sri Rama Rama Rameti Manorame Sahasranama Tatulyam Ramanama Varananam. And then, but Hanuman pleads, he's saying, but I'm here brokenhearted for so long. I'm separated from my Lord. I can't tolerate another moment. He's saying, but I've heard that recently my Lord Ramachandra, he has appeared with as Krishna, and he is engaged in such friendly dealings with the Pandavas. It's beyond what I can conceive, that type of intimacy. So from Dasya Rasa to Sakya Rasa. And it never asserting themselves, no pratishtha, always giving the name and fame to someone they consider guru. Guru, also, you know, Guru Varga, like in the Krishna Leela, sometimes guru means Nanda and Yashoda, means the elders, the seniors. So they're never accepting for themselves, but always deferring and promoting others. Then to the Pandavas, he's offering so much praise to them, and Yudhisthira Maharaj is deflecting that and saying, actually, I'm thinking our pastimes are so full of dramatic tension that I think it will actually discourage people from becoming devotees, not have a good effect. So many things go wrong, and so Narada responds by saying, no, I think what your pastimes show is that when a devotee of Krishna is in deep trouble, at that time Krishna will come and save them. He said, yes, but, well, but any Krishna you see here, he's with the Yadavas. And they go to the Yadavas. They're in the assembly hall. Everyone filled with anxiety, waiting. Krishna's late. He's late to the assembly that day. And the Yadavas point out, yes, the Lord deals with us with such love and affection and intimacy, but you see that door there? Behind that door is where Uddhava is with the Lord. So he's the best and the highest. And inside, there's Uddhava. And what is Uddhava? You know, Krishna. If you can't handle name and fame, what about if Krishna himself says, you're the highest devotee? Na tata priyatama priya uttama. Atma yonir na shankara. Na cha sankarsana na sri naivatma cha yatabhavan. If Krishna says, you're more dear to me, what does he mean? Brahma, atma bhu, Brahma, Shiva, sankarsan, Lakshmi. You're even more dear to me than I am to myself. How to digest that sort of pratishta? By Asamaho Charanan Renu Jushama Hangsham Brindavane Kimapi Gomalato Siddhinam Yad Dushtajam Swajana Marjapatam Chihidva Bejur Mukunda Parivim Shrutibir Vrimrigyam. He's saying, whatever Krishna said about me, after I saw the type of love and affection of Radharani and the Brajagopis, it's mentioned by Vishwanath, he's saying, actually, he would like to ask them for the dust of their lotus feet, direct. He knows they won't give it to him. So that's why he says, therefore, I'd like to be a blade of grass, have an atomic presence in the soil of Vrindavan. So when their lotus feet are moving in the plane of service, some of the dust from their lotus feet will come upon my head, thereby consecrating my existence. never self-assertion. If anything, self-deprecation. Right? The culture of humility, negativity. It was actually in Malini's place. What is that city where you were from, you and your mom? Novosibirsk. That's where I was. And it was very, very cold. We used to send pictures to Gurudev. Like, go outside, take pictures, and this, you know, like for 5 minutes, and then run back. And I would run back inside. Subhana's daughter. What is her name? The grown girl? No, that's another place. I'm telling two stories. What is her name? No, the big girl. Jayandrani, yeah. And one picture, you can see, I have this, we're all outside, we're, that's in Tomsk, and it's like minus 30 or something. And she didn't even put on a coat. If you look in the picture, she's the only one. She's like in a t-shirt. Gurudev would look at these pictures and give him great joy. But in Novosibirsk, and where your place and your mother's place, I was looking out the window at the snow and thinking about how minus it was. And then I thought about this superconductivity. Over here, when a ceramic is brought to absolute zero, which is something like minus 350 Fahrenheit or Celsius, as you wish. There's a certain point where they sort of blend together. It says, when it approaches absolute zero, becomes a superconductor for current, which means there's no there's zero resistance to current. Achieves superconductivity. So Guru Mahārāj is always speaking about negativity. He equates humility with negativity. Right? Ego is self-assertion. Ego is resistance to divine current. Even in the mantra, the prajodati, prachodaya, this, there's some suggestion, some pull, some push. The ego wants to resist the Krishnadas current. Right? To self-sacrificing, self-giving current. Because it wants, it's Guru Mahārāj called the in-caring current. It wants to get involved in the out-caring current. It flows out into the world of dreamlike, illusory experience. But what is humility? The outcome, the natural outcome of the perception, the proximity of greatness. And in this case, of infinite greatness. So when we're overwhelmed by that, then humility, it's the automatic natural outcome. It's not feigned. It's not opposing. It's natural. To the degree that one has perceived greatness, automatically they will feel themselves insignificant. It's a testimony. It's not that they're suffering from low self-esteem. They don't know how to assert themselves. Back to pratishtha self. It's not that. It's overwhelming to the point. And that sort of humility, when it approaches absolute zero, right, means the degree of negativity equated with absolute zero, there is zero resistance to divine current, and they become superconductors, like Shaktivesh Avatar, like Prabhupada, like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. This is the guru principle. Right? Zero resistance to that divine current descended, then superconduction, superconductivity. That is the opposite of pratishtha. Right. So why the Vaishnavas, beginning, middle, and end, they're always invoking the Bande Gurun, Isha Bande Guru, Sri Jutapada Kamalam, etc. Always beginning with invoking the blessings of Guru, offering themselves as an instrument, Nimitta Matram Bhava Savya Sachan. And in that regard, we can say, because tomorrow is the disappearance day of Jayadeva Goswami, and we don't get the opportunity, another opportunity, that Gurudev, like, there's at least four different times in Charitamritam where a verse, it's very worded a little differently each time, but where it says, what was Mahaprabhu's tasting matter in the Gambira with, in the company of Ramananda Roy and Srup Damodar? And it's always mentioned, you know, the Jagannath Balava Natak, written by Ramananda, Krishna Karanamritam of Bilva Mangal Thakur, songs of Vidyapati and Chandidas, and the Gita Govinda of Jayadev Goswami. It's always mentioned like that. So that, like Gurudev once in St. Petersburg in Lakta, Manasa Krishna, is that where he said, you know, this, what is he saying? Good for telling, but not for hearing, but not telling. I mean, like, you can hear this, but there won't be an explanation. And that way, he finally threaded, you know, like, you shouldn't, these things should not be discussed. So he didn't discuss it, but he did, because he loves the poetry. And I could say, I mean, sometimes I look over and see Gurudev reading early in the morning, I'm talking like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. or something. You know, sometimes he's got the Materia Medica looking through there, you know, homeopathy. Then other times it seems like he's reading the Gita Govinda and just keeping it to himself. Sometimes those slokas, the first one's very beautiful in charge. Vishvesham anuranjanena janayan anandam indivara shreni shamala anangotsavam. I remember. But the other one we like, Mahaprabhu, when he would hear this, it would put him in a trance. And Gurudev revealed the beautiful alliteration in the sounds. And again, no explanation is necessary, but just to hear it says, Lalita Lavanga Lata Parishilana Kamala Malaya Samire Maru Karabi Kara Karambita Ko Kila Kujita Kunja Kutire. And you understand something about Jayadev Goswami, the mastery and poetic beauty, and to think this is giving great joy to Mahaprabhu behind closed doors with Srup Damodar and Ramananda. And so that Jayadev Goswami, and to segue from the Pratishtha, you think, he's Jayadev Goswami, Gita Govinda. Right? But when he's writing this Gita Govinda, we're told something comes to him and he thinks, this is so beautiful and so revealing. He thinks it's too much to write that. He's thinking, the devotees live with this uncertainty principle, whether they're actually devotees or not. They'll always, when the gopis go to meet Krishna, they're uncertain whether or not they're qualified. Do they have anything? Guru Maharaj said, if you can acknowledge that, but at the simultaneously say, I have no other shelter, my only interest ultimately is Krishna conception and everything that goes with it, he said, then you might be a devotee. He doesn't even say, then you're a devotee. He said, you might be a devotee. Because that's what a devotee is. Adarshanama. In the absence, they go on. It's easy to go on, you know, when we're eating gulab jamuns. You know, like Tirthamar's son, what is it? A swimming pool filled with rasgolas, and he will swim and throw one in his mouth and swim and till the next one. Sons of nectar. That's the easy part. In the absence of Krishna, the absence of Krishna conception, when we feel devoid of Krishna consciousness, after so much endeavor, I don't know. Yad vanchana Sri Lalanachara Tapo Lakshmi Devi for lifetimes in the Tapovan. And we're here, oh, for so many years. How about lifetimes in the Tapovan? Anyway, so he doesn't think, I'm Jayadev Goswami, look at what I wrote before this. No, he's thinking, is this me? Is this divine or is this me? And we're kind of back onto the theme. What I'm saying, is it something divine is coming through me and being, I'm allowing myself to be used as an instrument? Or my ego, you know, I'm a poet. And my, the you know, I like what I'm writing. I like the poetry of what I'm writing. And he's thinking, he thinks, bottom line is, what's being expressed is too much to express. As Guru Maharaj would say so many times, when he spoke about something high, and by the way, Krishna consciousness is something high. Sometimes people are like, talking about all these high, Krishna consciousness, it's the highest thing there is. If any talk about Krishna consciousness is high. Right? As one devotee said when he met Brisakapi, this is like years, he said, I thought I met the most advanced, you know, saintly person in the whole universe. And I said, you did. Actually, at that point in your life, this person before you was the most advanced person you'd ever met. So Krishna consciousness is something high, like perfect, more perfect, most perfect. But certain things are what within Krishna consciousness we call high. And we should be very cautious about discussing them in detail. So many times Guru Maharaj would say, oh, such high things coming from this mean mouth. You know, oh, I shouldn't have the audacity to express this. But then sometimes he'd say, still I do. But that's him. But it shows that this is the inner thinking of a devotee. So Jayadev saying, too much audacity to express this, take a break. So he walks away from that, you know, he goes to bathe. Padmavati, his wife, she's cooking and then prasadam. And she sees that we understand Krishna takes the form of Jayadev Goswami and appears there. And Krishna, he's writing something. Anyway, she thinks she's feeding her husband, gives him prasadam. Their system is she will take afterwards. Krishna, Jayadev, the real Jayadev comes and he sees his wife is eating and he's saying, what are you doing? He's saying, what do you mean? He's saying, you usually take after me. Yeah, you came here, don't you remember? You finished writing your line of your poetry, then you came, took prasadam. And he goes and looks and sees what he was writing. And Krishna personally wrote, Dehi padapalavam plavam udharam. And what he was hesitating to write, they were told in the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. And Guru Maharaj talks about this, actually you can read in golden volcano. But sometimes there's a cause for argument, quarrel. Sometimes there's no cause, but there's quarrel. So in some instance where there's a divine quarrel, Krishna is willing to admit his guilt, and he's coming to touch the lotus feet of Radharani to beg forgiveness. That's what he was hesitating to write. That the supreme entity, that he will bow down to touch the feet of his beloved to apologize and ask forgiveness. He was thinking, that's too much to write. That's too much to reveal in the world. And Krishna himself took the form of Jayadev and wrote that. Then we can understand, Krishna wanted this to be known in the world. Right? So, Jarigora nahoita kavitaviki hoite, kamoni doritam dehe, radhar mahima prema rasasima jagata janatake. And Mahaprabhu came to broadcast the glories of Radharani in the world. But think of this, Krishna, he wanted the world to know this, that yes, sometimes that happens. And that's the supreme triumph of devotion. And that comes from the pen of Jayadev via the editing of Krishna. So how exalted is that work, Gita Govinda and Hare Krishna. And we sang on the avatar appearance days, the Dash Avatar Stotram. And there's other songs that have been taken from there and some slokas here and there. But generally, due to the high nature of this literature, not going into the details, but just this Lalita Lavanga Lata Parishilana Kamala Slok. When Mahaprabhu would hear that, he would be devastated with ecstasy and enter, withdraw from this plane and remain in there for extended periods of time. Hare Krishna. Srila Jayadev Goswami Prabhu Ki Jai. Sudarshan Prabhu, can you sing Hari Harai?
Hari Harai Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Charano se vibhakti.
Charidasa Terasa, the Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadeva Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Vrakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Jai Saparikar Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Vandarva Govinda Sundar Ju Ki Jai. Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Sri Ramananda Ki Jai. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Harsh Bhaktivedanta Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavandam Ki Jai. Navadeep Tam Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswatmat Ki Jai. Sri Gupta Govardhan Ki Jai. Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Om Vishnu Pad Vishvavarini Srila Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswatmat Acharya Vrinda Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Bhimalavadut Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Sriman Sudarshan Prabhu Ki Jai. Jai Srimati Bhakti Lalita Devi Dasi Ki Jai. Seva Vrinda Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Go Premanande.
Jai Vishnu Bhakti Sathir Gasavi Maharaj Ki Jai.